He reacted with what seemed like well-rehearsed efficiency. Shaking fingers retrieved keys from his pocket and unlocked his desk drawer. The metal of the army-issue pistol felt cold in his warm hand. He crossed to the walk-in cloakroom at the far side of the room and threw open the door. Rows of coats and jackets hung on the rail, shoes neatly lined up beneath them. He lifted a heavy wool overcoat and slipped the gun into its pocket, pulling it on over broad shoulders before stooping to pick up the leather overnight bag he had prepared for just this moment. He did not stop to think. There was no regret-filled backward glance as he closed his study door and hurried along the landing to the back stairs. No time for reflection or sorrow. To hesitate would be fatal. Only briefly, as he hurried down the stairway, did the image of Magda and the children in the dining room flit briefly through his mind. No time to say goodbye. No point. It was over. The cellar smelled sour, freezing air fetid and damp. He stumbled through the darkness to the door and fumbled with gloved fingers to unlock it. Icy night air hit him like a slap in the face, and he saw his breath billow in the moonlight as he pulled on his hat. But now he stopped to listen, before peering cautiously along the alley between cold granite houses to the street beyond. There was only the occasional car on the boulevard, but the shadows among the trees had taken form. He saw the huddled shapes of half a dozen men, the glow of cigarettes in the dark. And then suddenly the screech of tires, lights blazing in the boulevard as several vehicles mounted the pavement, doors flying open, a cigarette discarded in a shower of sparks as men came running from the park. Eric pulled the door shut behind him and sprinted along the alley to the lane behind the house, half fearing they had sent men round the back. But no, they had not anticipated his forewarning. As he heard the hammering on his front door and the voices calling in the night, he hurried off into the dark, towards an unknown future full of fear and uncertainty. Chapter 2. Agadir, Morocco, February 29, 1960. The view from the ancient city walls down to the harbour below and the sweep of the bay away to the south were spectacular. Eve never ceased to marvel at it. He had been fortunate to get an apartment in the historic Casbah, a studio in the roof of a converted riad in the heart of the old town. It was small, but all that a single man might require. From his terrace he looked out over a jumble of rooftops and down into the narrow, shaded streets below. He loved the life of the Casbah, its noise, its energy, and he was used to shopping almost daily for fresh produce in the souk. He enjoyed waking to the sound of the calls to prayer that rang out each morning from the minaret of the mosque. Plaintive calls, summoning men to confer with their Maker. And although he was not a religious man himself, there was something about the spirituality of the ritual that he envied, that his lack of faith would prevent him ever from sharing. Today, as he drove out through the old city gates, the view unfolded below him as it always did. But this morning, he barely noticed it. The mist gathering along the coast caught the first light of dawn as the sun rose over the desert to the east, glowing, pink. The restless ocean washing it up all along the sandy shore. A haze hung over the city spread out below him, new buildings expanding east and south as the population of this West African port exploded with the success of the Atlantic sardine trade. But Eve was focused on his rearview mirror. Amid the chaos of motor vehicles and horse-drawn carts and merchants' barrows in his wake, he caught a glimpse of the black Citroën. He had been watching for it, hoping that in the end it might prove simply to be a figment of an overactive imagination. But there it was. He cursed softly under his breath and followed the road as it serpentined its way down the hill towards the harbour. Fleets of rusting trawlers lined up along the quay, like the sardines that they had brought in overnight. He glanced out of his driver's window, up the arid rocky slope and its tangle of pale green desert scrub, to the curve of the road above him. Dust rose from the tyres of the following Citroën. He had first spotted it nearly a week ago. It was probable that no ordinary person would have noticed it, but Eve was no ordinary person.